Greetings and welcome to Shnayim Mikra, the series sponsored by the Orthodox Union hosted at OU.org, where every podcast we investigate one of the aliyot of the current week's parasha. This week we are studying Parashat Bo. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and it's exciting to be able to study with you through this most modern of technologies, the most ancient and hallowed of texts. Today we're looking at the third aliyah of Parashat Bo, which begins just after a description of Makat Choshech in Perek Yod, Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Vayikra Faro Moshe, vayomer lechu ibdu et Adonai, rak tzonchem uvkarchem yutzag. So now Paro seems to cave in and allow Bnei Yisrael to go and do what they've been asking, which is to go and worship God out in the desert. But he says you have to keep your animals here. Meaning, you could take all the people, including your kids, which is what you asked for, but the animals stay. Take the kids. So Moshe now, emboldened, puts it to Paro. You're even going to give korbanot to us. Zvachim, which is typically shlamim, and olot, burnt offerings. Not only are you going to let us take our animals, you're going to provide us with animals. This, by the way, does set sort of a bit of foreshadowing for what happens 800 years or so later when Koresh provides materials and animals for Shavet Zion when they rebuild the Mikdash for offerings. Our possessions, our cattle, will go with us. Lo tishar parsa, not one leg will be left. In other words, Moshe now is saying what we all know is going to happen, but saying it quite boldly, but not explicitly, which is that everybody is going to leave. Ki mimenu nikach lavorat Adonai Eloheinu. Why are we going to take all of our animals? And now he kind of softens it, not because we're leaving, but because we're going to use our animals to worship God. We don't know what we're going to worship God with until we get there. Meaning the assumption here is, we don't know what kind of offerings we're supposed to bring. When we get there, our God will communicate with us and tell us what to do. So we've got to bring everything with us. And again, Paro does something which is irrational. Paro does something which is not in his own self-interest or in his nation's interest. But that's because God is hardening his heart. And he refused to send them again. And now Paro has had it. He said, get out of here. You better not come see me again. Now, this, by the way, gives us a little bit of an in to talk about addressing the king and meeting the king in the ancient world. We often have the impression that the king, kind of like a political leader today, is under heavy, heavy veils of security, very distant from the common man. You have to go through levels upon levels upon levels in order to be able to get into the outer courtyard. And in many cases, that was true. However, in many parts of the ancient world, including both in Malchut Yehuda, certainly, and in Malchut Yisrael, certainly, and evidently in Egypt, there were times when the king made himself available, or there were opportunities when, maybe not anybody, but people could walk in to a meeting room and to discuss, to plead their case before the king. We have, for instance, the famous case of the Ishat Koit in Shmuel Bet Perek Yudalad, where she is, it's all a charade set up by Yoav, but she comes and falls in front of the king and says, Hoshea HaMelech, please save me. What's the problem? I had only two sons. My husband died. One son got in a fight with the other and killed him, and now the family wants to exact revenge and kill this other son, and the king promises to protect her. How that plays out is not our concern here. For that, we have the Nach Yomi podcast in Shmuel Bet. But the point is that the king was someone who was accessible, and citizens could go up to the king and plead their case. The same thing that you find in Malachim Bet, when the woman goes up to the king, Yoravam ben Yoash, and pleads her case about the famine, about, I made a deal with another woman, we need my child, we need her child, a terrible, terrible story. And his conclusion from that is that I'm going to kill Elisha. The whole story plays out, but you see that there was access. You see also that Moshe addresses Paro both in his throne room and also at the Nile. And so there were times that Paro made a public appearance or made himself publicly available. Moshe and Aaron are coming and going freely into the palace, and not only Moshe and Aaron. At the end of Parshat Shemot, we hear about leaders of Bnei Israel and police who are put over the taskmasters coming into Paro and pleading their case. And so we have to conclude it's much the same thing. And here is where Paro puts his foot down and says, next time you come in, you're a dead man. You cannot come see me again. You come in again, you're a dead man. Al tosef ro panai, ki biyom ro tchafanai tamut. And what's Moshe's response to that? Ve'om Moshe ken dibarta, which means we all now understand we've gotten to the end of the road. It's not as if this is going to play out anymore. There are no more plagues. There's no more actions, no more negotiations. Brinksmanship has gotten to the brink. And now it's going to be some sort of a conclusion, and somebody's not going to be very happy about it. Vayom Moshe kein dibarta. Moshe turns to Paro and says, you're right. Lo sif odro parecha. I won't see you again. I'm finished with you. You're finished with me. I'm finished with you. And at that point, we have the following. Vayom Adonai Moshe. And we show him say, Moshe is standing in the palace when this happens. Because Moshe said, I'm not going to see you again. And yet Moshe has to give this next nevuah to Paro. Om nega charavi al Paro ve'al Mitzrayim. One more plague. Then he will send you out of here. And when he sends you out, he's going to completely send you and push you out of here. Just like Hashem told Moshe from the very beginning. When he finally sends you out, it's going to be Bi'ad Chazakah. He's not going to just let you go. He's going to push you out. I'm going to send one plague. And as stubborn as he is now to not let you go, that's how strong he's going to be to push you out. And now, what does Hashem say to Moshe? He reminds him of a promise made at the Snab months earlier. Daber Nabos Neha'am. A phenomenal piece by Rav Cook about this in Ein Ayah, on the Gemara in Brachot, about this Pasuk. Daber Nabos Neha'am. Speak now to the people. Vishalu Ishmeid Re'ehu. Vishameid Re'utak Lechasim Uchloi Zahab. And I'm going to translate Ishalu the way it should probably be translated, which is, they should request, not borrow, but request every man from his friend, every woman from her friend, gold and silver. And what's the outcome of that? And Hashem made the people very favorable to Mitzrayim, which means the Mitzrayim were willing to give Bnei Yisrael their gold and their silver. Was it because they said, you know what, we're about to leave, please take it and go, because their presence was so bad? Or as much as Hashem is pushing Paro to be stubborn against Bnei Yisrael, he's pushing the Mitzrayim to be favorable to Bnei Yisrael and to really set up a confrontation between Paro and his own people? Unclear. But Bnei Yisrael are able to get gold and silver and fancy clothing from their neighbors. And this goes back to something I spoke about in a previous podcast about how it seems from the text that the Yisraelim or the Ivrim and the Mitzrayim lived in close proximity, were neighbors with each other, knew each other, were familiar with each other, in many cases probably were friendly with each other. And friendly enough to be able to go over and say, I want some of that gold, I want some of that silver. And they shouldn't say, take it. Gam ha'ish Moshe gadol meod, Beretz Mitzrayim, b'nei avdei Farao v'nei ha'am. And not only that, but Moshe himself had risen to a position of great esteem in the eyes of Paro and in the eyes of the people. So although Paro's words are very rough, you're never going to see me again, you come and see me again, you're going to die, nonetheless, Paro looked up to Moshe, and the Mitzrayim looked up to Moshe, and they all had favorable feelings towards Bnei Yisrael, which of course sets us up for what's going to happen in the next Aliyah, which is really the preparation for leaving. And we will pick up with the fourth Aliyah on the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.